Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, this is the book club and the Implant English book club. We are doing A Purpose Driven Life by Rick Warren. What on earth am I here for? Thank you guys so much for checking us out. We will be doing the book club every day. We're going to start tomorrow, doing it every day at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I hope that you're up for that. That's actually what it is. So grateful for you guys to check us out. If you're interested in, you know, and future broadcasts, you can check out blogtalkradio.com/NTE-books. And as well, all podcasts and all things are posted. Or actually posted on www.NPLAINEnglish.com, and that will give you just links to everything, not just our book club, or but our daily Bible read, and as well prior topical studies. So yeah, that's what it is. That is what it is. We are doing chapters 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15 today. We did six through ten 5 days ago, and we're doing 11 through 15 today. So that's what the actual business is. Some really interesting stuff. Some of the stuff that I came across, meh. I mean, I wasn't really all that keen on a lot of it. Some of it was good. Some of it was really great. But some of it I didn't really agree with, you know, as per usual. Some of it I did not agree with at all. So I think that's true with any book, anything that actually that anybody makes. You're not going to agree with it 100%. That's just the way it is. But let me go ahead and let my group know about this, and I'm going to connect one more person. And then we will get started here with our discussion on these 5 days. All right. So we're in chapter 11, and to me, honestly, this book is nothing more. It just comes off to me as one of those books that are. As a evangelistic tool, when I look at it, it comes off to me as an evangelistic tool more than anything. That's how it comes off to me. Not really, not hating, but it's just, it comes off like that. Like, you know, this is a perfect driven life. By the way, he just prayed this prayer. I mean, some of my beliefs too. I mean, and I need to continue to to research them. Some of my beliefs on what he's sharing, I don't agree with. But that again, just like I said, is par for the course. Dan Levin was about becoming friends with God. This was to me very, very, very profound. Because in a lot of ways, it's something that's very important. So, I mean, because I know for me, growing up in that particular culture, and in the actual church culture, you can get deceived into thinking that, okay, I need to be this, do this, act this way, this, that, and the third. When in actuality, God desires, based on what he's saying, God desires us to be friends with him. You know, God wants us to be close with him. God wants us to be intimate with him. You know, it talks about, too, that fear of God is not friendship, is more common in the Old Testament. And you do feel that. You feel like that, that, you know, he's more scary than like, intimate when you actually look at the Old Testament. So you see that. You definitely see that. So, let's see. What stood out to me in this particular read is that, what really stood out to me was when it talked about like praying without ceasing, and being included a lot, including God in every activity that you have. Like, that to me was very, 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 very huge, because I know for me, I can easily just kind of forget. I mean, I'll say it, just kind of forget that, oh, well, God's here. God's here with me, and, you know, God wants me to interface and engage in this activity, as if he's my friend, as if he's my confidant, not as if, you know, in reality, not in falsity, but in reality as such. I definitely, I like that. I also talked about changing your attitude towards what you do, which, you know, which I found really, really cool. I also found very, very interesting when he talked about Adam and Eve, how they didn't worship, they in Eden worship was not an event to attend, but a perpetual attitude, and that changed that right there. That sentence changed how I look at worship. You know, normally I look at worship like singing or dancing or tambourines, clapping, singing songs, people wearing robes. Which in actuality, in a lot of ways, that can be nothing more than a performance. But Adam and Eve was the way it was before sin entered the world. God didn't have a building for them to live in. You know, their building was earth. You know, Adam did specific tasks and duties before God. Eve, it was there with, you know, with Adam, and there wasn't any dancing or anything like that. It was just them in the presence of God in the garden. And to me, that really stood out to me, because it made me think, like, what am I thinking? What am I doing in this world? To the degree to where I feel a need that I have to act or be a certain way around around God instead of just walking before him humbly, being pure before him, you know. Serving him and worshiping him and what I do, and remembering, you know, that I'm worshiping from, you know, with all my heart and all my might, not trying to show or prove anything, but just being who I am before God in purity and in love and adoration. And that to me was the essence of day 11. Day 12 was really encouraging too. It talked about being honest with God, and not living based on the assumption, on the godly assumption of, oh well, God's like this. This is what God is, and God likes this, God likes that, and worshiping God based on an assumption. He talks about that on page 95. It says, one startling example of frank friendship, God honestly expressed total disgust with Israel's disobedience. You know, and it talked about this, what we assume God to be and who God really is. He wasn't going to go a step further with Israel. And that doesn't really, you know, if you're assuming God is a certain way, that doesn't really, I don't think about God. When I think God, I don't think that God is that way. I don't naturally think, oh, well, God's going to act this way or do this or do that. You know, no. No, I think completely different. Or I have thought about God in a completely different way, that he in no way is like that, but God wants a friendship, which is, again, it's difficult to understand, to wrap your mind around that. It's really, really, really difficult. What else? It talks about disclosure. He also talks about until we mature enough to understand that God uses everything for the good in our lives, we harbor resentment towards God over our appearance, background, unanswered prayers, past hurts, and other things we would change if we were God. And this often is like the you know, the fly in the ointment or the essence of many people. Like they are honestly, purely, 100% angry, disappointed, peeved with God, you know, because he didn't give them X, Y, or Z like he gave Susan or Aaron or Andrew. Like, you're mad because he didn't give you what you feel like you deserve in your everyday life. And that's not fair. But that in a lot of ways is how we view God, you know. So, and that, you know, definitely does drive a wedge in the friendship, in the relationship before God. Definitely does. I mean, because if you're expecting all, you know, all these other things from him, you have bitterness over most things that, you know, with man, when you have bitterness over things with man that involve men, but don't truly involve God, that's not a good look. It talks about too, like how true friendship is impassive and acts. It also, that's page 98, we are often challenged to do great things for God. Great opportunities come once a lifetime, but small opportunities surround us every day. And this is a chapter where it's, or this is a part of day 12 where it talks about we choose to obey God. Where obeying God is a choice. It's not something that you just, it just falls up, out of the heavens, and you know, you don't make any effort. We choose to obey. We choose to trust Him. You know, we choose these particular things, and it's a sense of obedience. You know, and it talks about that. You know, often we don't look at friendships like, you know, mix the philosophy of obedience with friendship. We don't mix obedience with intimacy, is what he brought up, which I thought was very interesting. Like, and he reads in page 97, we don't normally think of obedience as a characteristic of friendship. That's reserved for relationships with a parent or the boss or a superior officer, not a friend. However, Jesus made it clear that obedience is a condition of intimacy with God. And he brings up the scripture, you know, you're my friends if you do what I command. I found that very interesting. And I find it interesting on the other side by if I try to say I'm a friend of Jesus, but I don't do what he says, it makes perfect sense. Because in a lot of ways, he dropped another bomb here. He says, we are friends with God, but we're not his equals. And that gets a lot of people, I think, me included. I think in a lot of other ways and situations, I think, just because I have the power to decide, that does not mean I have the power that equates to Jesus or God, you know. And, you know, I think I've gotten that twisted before. I think other people as well get it twisted, too, that, you know, we can often get confused by stuff. You know, we can often get confused by our decisions because we have special privileges in life. It doesn't mean that we have the final say in things, and that gets a lot. I think that can very easily get a lot of people. One more thing before I move on to day 13. It says, we obey God not out of duty or fear or compulsion, but because we love him and trust that he knows what is best for us. We want to follow Christ out of gratitude for all he has done for us. And the closer we follow him, the deeper our friendship becomes. And, good stuff. Very, very good stuff. And as well, he goes through, I must choose to value what God values. The truth is, you are as close to God as you choose to be. That's another part. Intimate friendships with God is a choice, not an accident. You must intentionally seek it. And you know, he as well, there's absolutely nothing more important than the developing of friendship with God. Very, very, very good day. Now, day 13. This talks about worship. Oh, and I didn't like this day. This day was like, yuck. I was like, yeah, gross. Like, I looked over this day, and it just kind of felt like, you know, I looked at this day, and it kind of felt like, you know, a little cliche-ish, you know. There's a few places where I'm like, wow, this is repetitive. This is a cliche. This is him being repetitive. But then again, I have to understand that I've been around church before, and this might, to somebody else, this might be, wow, this is new. I haven't heard this, or this sounds, you know, fantastic. But day 13 was about worship that pleases God, and what does it mean, you know? When the scriptures say God wants all of you, you know, and I kept on writing, okay, how do we get to where we manifest this in our everyday life? Like, how do we give all of our heart, all of our soul, all of our mind, and all of our strength? And he broke it down into different sections. You know, God is pleased when our worship is accurate. God is pleased when our worship is authentic. God is pleased when our worship is thoughtful. God is pleased when our worship is practical. And that those are the different aspects of worship that pleases God. But my frustration was, how do I worship, he one thing that stood out too in one of the sections is, we cannot create our own comfortable or politically correct image of God and worship it. That's idolatry. I like that. That's very true, because a lot of times we do want to make God into something that fits and appeases our sinful nature. That very easily is what fits and appeases, like, what it is that we want, or what it is we desire, what it is, in our heart of hearts, where we're like, oh well, God would do this because I like it, like, not because it's or because it makes sense. And in reality, it's not like that. God is and will forever be who He is, God. And not everybody is cool with God being God, and they're constantly trying to make Him into something else, even in worship, which is, it is what it is. What else? He talks about on page 103, it says, God hates hypocrisy. He doesn't want showmanship or pretense or phoniness in worship. He wants an honest, real love. We can worship God. We can worship God imperfectly, but we cannot worship Him insincerely. This sounds a little bit cliche-ish. I'm like, oh, goodness. Of course, sincerity alone is not enough. You can be sincerely wrong. But why both spirit and truth are required? Worship must be accurate and authentic. We use both our hearts and our heads. And I kept on writing, I don't know, what does this mean? How do you do this? How do you worship God? How? And I didn't really, it talks about thoughtful, and I still am confused with worship. He does bring up, though, on day 13, how he brings up another book about, called Sacred Pathways, where it says, the author identifies 9 of the ways people draw near to God. But it still to me doesn't translate. I mean, and I'll go ahead and break it down. Naturalists, inspired by the love of God of outdoors, naturalists said, sensates love God with their senses. Traditionalists draw near to God through rituals, liturgy, symbols, and unchanging structures. Ascetics prefer to love God in solitude and simplicity. Activists love God through confronting evil, battling injustice, and working to make the world a better place. Caregivers love God by loving others and meet their needs. I don't know how to say that. Love God through celebration. Contemplatives love God through adoration, and intellectuals love God by studying with their mind. Like, I still, like, I was really disappointed, just honest, with this page, because I felt like it was more confusing and more frustrating when it came down to breaking out what worship really, and what does it mean to worship? How do you worship? Type thing, what are vain acts of worship, because again, it's just, I just feel like there's so many things that we do now that are just money making schemes that are tied to money, and generating cash flows for people more than, like, I'm doing this because I love Jesus. I'm doing this because I love God. I'm doing this because, to show my affections to God. And I just was a little bit, I guess, miffed by this particular day. There was some neat stuff in the actual in this actual day, how it talks about you can't exalt God and yourself at the same time. I thought that was cool. It's, you know, when Jesus said, love the God with all your strength, he pointed out that worship takes effort and energy, costs, you know, and it talks about how, you know, in the last page of this day, it says the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. So it's kind of, on one hand, it's like, oh, okay, you know, this is cool, I guess, you know, I suppose, I mean, but still, it's just hard to, I know, understand what worship means from this particular day, which is cool. It's just going to mean I'm just going to have to study all my free time to figure out what does he mean? What is he talking about, you know? So, anyway, let's move on to day 14 here quickly here. Day 14 is about when God seems distant, and I like this chapter. I like this chapter a lot because it talks about how, what in the world? Okay. It talks about situations where it's not about how you feel. It's not about the benefit of feeling the intimacy with God. It's not about that at all. It's about serving God regardless of whether you even feel anything back, which I think is very, very powerful. The fact that, you know, you're not always going to feel close to him. God is real no matter how you feel. The deepest level of worship is praising God in spite of pain, thanking God during the trial, trusting him when tempted, surrendering while suffering, and loving him when he seems distant. That's beautiful. I love that. To mature your friendship, God will test it with periods of seeming separation, times when it feels as if he's abandoned or forgotten you. The most common mistake Christians make in worship today is seeking an experience rather than seeking God. They look for a feeling, and if it happens, they conclude that they have worshiped wrong. In fact, God often removes our feelings, so we won't depend on them. Seeking a feeling, even the feeling of closeness to Christ, is not worship. I agree with that because I think we can get caught up in, the feelings and, you know, the oohs and ahs of Christianity, of worship. Like, I feel it, so that makes it true. And, I mean, again, this day was really great. I love day 14. Yes, he wants you to sense his presence, but he's more concerned that you trust him. He's more concerned that you trust him than you feel him. I love that. And I think that's why sometimes there's things that occur in our lives where it's, there's not the benefit of, you know, the waves of emotion and of feelings and of, you know, where is this going? But, you know, there are times where it's like, oh, okay, I don't know where this is going. I don't know what's going on, but I do know what God has done. I do know who God is. I do know, you know, what kind of God, you know, what God is, what God has done, and what he's done in the Bible, what he's done, and you can even just throw the Bible out, what he's done in my life, then you're able to actually stand firm and stand tall. And you know, I like the fact you can be as close to God as you want, but then expecting the benefit of feeling like you're close isn't always, you know, isn't always, you know, what's the word? Isn't always the best thing in the world, you know. you know, isn't always the greatest thing. And finally, day 15. You know, it talks about being formed for God's family, and it reminds me of. And it reminds me of just manifesting His glory amongst your family members, and realizing that it's not about your physical family, it's not about your friends, but it's about the family of God, and that yes, God's family has particular benefits, but we're here for God, and we're here to manifest the glories of. The glory of being brothers, sisters, and the family of God. And, you know, that has been, you know, days 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. We're going to go in. Tomorrow, God willing, we're going to do day 16, and we're going to do from tomorrow on, we're going to do day by day what stood out to us on our from our daily read, from Rick Warren's The Purpose Driven Life. This is in plain English. I'm so grateful that you've been with us on this journey, and we look forward to walking alongside with you guys. And in this book, The Purpose Driven Life. Thank you so much for checking us out. You guys take care. Have a great evening.
Covered in your presence like a summer rain. The heavier the weight of your glory, higher I will fly, trampoline. You are the true vine, I'm the branch. Good fruit and my leaves are forever green. Every scene I need the trinity. Keep my mind stable and grant me serenity. May you reign forever, infinity. And never tell my mama where I lost my virginity. Jehovah God, supreme divinity. Protect me, Lord, from my enemies. Make me less pride as my remedy. You are my identity, give me more of your spiritual amenities. Thank you, God.
But it's about how you do me.
Your kingdom come.